If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message today that looks at the life of one of the well-known Bible personalities. His name is Joseph. Joseph from the book of Genesis. One of the things that all of us know after we live just a little bit of time on this planet Earth is that life is full of challenges. Life is full of challenges. And I felt impressed of the Lord today to share a message that talks about the challenges we face and looks at the great deal of challenges that Joseph faced, similar in some regard perhaps to some of the challenges we can face in our everyday lives. The title of my message today is Challenged But Not Overwhelmed. Challenged but not overwhelmed. You may be watching this live stream and you may be able to tick off just a list of challenges that have presented themselves to you and that you're dealing with right now. Say, Pastor Tim, I have this and this and this. And they're serious challenges. Well, I want you to know that though you're challenged, you do not have to be overwhelmed, that God is with you. And so I want to share a few thoughts today from the scriptures, be reading several scriptures in Genesis between chapters 37 and 50. Portions of those chapters to receive some light from the Word of God. So challenged but not overwhelmed. What are some of the types of challenges? This is a question I want to answer. What are some of the types of challenges that the Lord helps us to overcome? Well, the first one that we see in the life of Joseph is found in Genesis chapter 37, verses 23 through 24 and 28. Now, a little background, you may remember Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He was the first son of the wife that he really loved, Rachel, and Joseph was his favorite. There's no denying that Joseph was Jacob's favorite. And he bestowed favor on him. He had a richly ornamented coat of many colors that he gave to Joseph. And so Joseph's brothers had some resentment toward him. And to add to that, he shared on a couple of occasions dreams that he had in which his brothers would bow before him and pay homage to him. And as you can imagine, that didn't set too well with them. So we pick up here in Genesis 37:23. It says, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. When the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt." The first challenge I want to talk about that the Lord helps us to meet and overcome is the challenge of catastrophe. That's a big one, isn't it? We're starting off with a bang. The challenge of catastrophe. This was a catastrophe for Joseph. He was sold into slavery. His life as he knew it, his happy, contented life as he knew it, was now over. This was a catastrophe. And you know, not every challenge that comes our way in life is a catastrophe, but catastrophes do happen. When I talk about catastrophe, I'm not talking about, you know, the Wi-Fi is out or gas has gone up 10 cents a gallon, you know, or my team didn't make the playoffs. I'm talking about life-altering events. The death of a loved one, a debilitating sickness, a divorce or end of another close relationship, a massive economic disaster. I'm talking about life-altering events. And so Joseph experienced this kind of disaster, this type of catastrophe. There's no question that catastrophes happen. Life-altering events do take place. But when we look at the life of Joseph, we see that these catastrophes that may almost say to us life is, if it's not over in you know, literally, that it's as good as over. But Joseph's life shows us that even in the midst of catastrophe, life isn't over. I want to share with you another scripture in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. This is two chapters after the catastrophe that Joseph experienced of being thrown into slavery. It says there, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. Did you know that even after a catastrophe, you can prosper? Oh, I'm not saying life will go back to exactly how it was before. I'm not saying that. We know there are things that happen that change our lives going forward. But like Joseph, you can still prosper after experiencing a catastrophe. I heard a story about Thomas Edison, the inventor of the microphone, the phonograph, the incandescent light, the storage battery, talking movies, more than 1,000 other things were invented by Edison. In December of 1914, he had worked for 10 years on a storage battery, and this had greatly drained his finances. And then on this December evening, a spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room of his laboratory, and within minutes, all of the packing compounds, the celluloid for records and films, all the flammable goods in that building were in flames. Fire companies from 8 surrounding towns arrived, but the heat was so intense and the water pressure so low that trying to douse the flames proved futile. Everything was destroyed. Now, Edison was 67 years old. With all his assets going up in flames, his losses exceeded $2 million, but the buildings were only insured for $238,000 because they were made of concrete and thought to be fireproof. And so this was a catastrophe in Edison's world. His 24-year-old son Charles searched frantically for his father, and he found him finally calmly watching the fire. And Charles, his son, said, "My heart ached for him. He was 67, no longer a young man, and everything he had was going up in flames." But Charles, Edison's son, goes on and says, "When he saw me, he shouted, 'Charles, where's your mother?' When I told him I didn't know, he said, 'Find her, bring her here. She will never see anything like this as long as she lives.'" Boy, that's a surprising mentality, seeing your life's work burned up, isn't it? The next morning, Edison looked at the ruins, the charred remains of his building and his work all being burned up. And he said this. He said, "There is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." Wow. What a profound and powerful truth. And 3 weeks after that catastrophe of a fire, Edison managed to deliver the first phonograph. You see, catastrophe is a part of life. It doesn't happen every day. We're mortal and we live in a fallen world. And so catastrophes can happen. Life-altering events can take place. And we feel like we'll never recover. As I said before, that life is as good as over. But the scripture says that the Lord was with Joseph after his catastrophe and he prospered. I want to encourage you today, if you've recently or even a while ago experienced a catastrophe that is affecting you at the present, or if there is a catastrophe on the horizon. You say, Pastor Tim, why do you say that? Because we don't know what the future holds. I want you to know you can recover from even catastrophe because God is with you. You are challenged, but you don't have to be overwhelmed. You can recover from catastrophe. What's the second type of challenge? Well, we see this in Genesis 39. Joseph was sold into slavery, and then he was taken as a servant to work in the home of Potiphar, one of the officials in Egypt. And the scripture says that he did his work so well that he was elevated to the highest place of all servants in the household of Potiphar. And Potiphar trusted him because he worked so well with all the affairs of his household. And so, considering the situation he was in, he was doing pretty well. Genesis 39, 6 and 10 say this, "Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' She spoke to Joseph day after day." This is the second type of challenge that Joseph was met with. It's the challenge of temptation. The challenge of temptation. You know, we are human beings. We're flesh and blood. We're mortal. And we are met continuously with temptation. It's one of Satan's greatest tools. James tells us that when we are tempted, we are enticed by our own lusts or our own desires. We have a choice to make. Sometimes temptations that we are particularly vulnerable to, and how many know that temptations are always tailor-made for us? Your greatest temptation might not be my greatest temptation, but our temptations are tailor-made for us to displease the Lord. In this case, it was to have an illicit relationship with his master's wife. But I love what it says a few verses down in Genesis 39, speaking of Joseph. It says, "But he refused, day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house." This must have been a temptation to Joseph. But he said no. He ran. And sometimes it's as simple as that. You say, Pastor Tim, it's not really that simple. Temptation is hard. Yes, it is hard. But we have to say no. We have to run the other way. The scripture says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. There is always a way of escape from temptation. I heard a story that in San Diego, a would-be bank robber walked into a branch of a bank and handed the teller a note demanding money. The teller read the note, looked at the man, and said, "No." The robber turned and walked out the door. Wouldn't it be great if each of us could respond to every temptation so forthrightly and successfully? Just say no. Remember years ago when Nancy Reagan was the first lady, there was a campaign to keep young people off of drugs, and it was entitled Just Say No. But you know, our culture doesn't want to apply that same strategy to deal with temptations. Our culture says if it feels good, do it. But we know from Scripture there are lasting consequences to giving in to temptation. Sexual sin, as Joseph was tempted to indulge in, maybe a temptation to cut corners financially if we're business people, or cheat on our income taxes, or a temptation to bend the truth to get out of a tight spot. That's one that I think every Christian faces. You know, we get in a tight spot and we can just bend the truth a little. We just say, I'll just fudge the truth a little bit. A little bit of fudging the truth is nothing more or less than a lie. And that's a temptation to get out of a tight spot. And you know, the first time we give into a temptation like that, it might be easy, but the more and more that we do it, the easier, it might be difficult rather, but the more and more we do that, it becomes easier to give in to temptation. Sometimes we need to just say no. And so we can be challenged by temptation, the challenge of temptation, but we don't have to be overwhelmed. Well, the story of Joseph continues and shares with us more challenges that he dealt with. Potiphar's wife told a lie against Joseph to her husband, and so he was taken. He was thrown in prison with the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh, the king of all Egypt, he had thrown his cupbearer and his baker into prison, and Joseph found himself there with them. And time went by, and they came to him with dreams that they couldn't interpret. And the Lord gave him the interpretation of the dreams, and to the baker, the interpretation was bad news, that he was going to be executed in 3 days. But this is the interpretation of the cupbearer's dream. We find it in Genesis 40, verses 13 through 14. And then verse 23, it says, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. And then verse 23 says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. The third challenge I want to talk to you about that would tempt to that could overwhelm us is the challenge of disappointment. Disappointment. Joseph had extracted a promise from this cupbearer that when he was reinstated to his position, he would remember Joseph, say something to Pharaoh, get him out of the prison. But the scriptures tell us that 2 years passed. Can you imagine the disappointment? Here's a young man who did nothing wrong. He's been sold into slavery, had a bit of good fortune, even in his servant's position, to have a trusted position, and then was again unjustly put in prison. And then he was promised that word would be mentioned to Pharaoh to get him free, and that promise wasn't kept for 2 full years. The challenge of disappointment. What happened to Joseph in the light of his disappointment? Well, Genesis 41 verse 1 and verse 14 say this: when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. Disappointment can be a terrible, terrible thing. It's a great challenge for us. Things that we plan for, we expect to happen. Often we depend on other people and they let us down. Have you ever been let down by someone? I know you have. Disappointment can be terribly debilitating at times. And life is full of disappointments, isn't it? You can't escape being disappointed in life. I said people let you down. Sometimes it's not people. Sometimes just circumstances intervene and cause problems, and things don't play out the way we anticipated, and we're disappointed. Many of you know the story of my oldest daughter, Lauren. I've shared it before. She was engaged to be married in 2017, and just a little over 6 weeks before the wedding, after the invitations had gone out, after the wedding shower had taken place. Her wedding had to be canceled through no fault of her own. And as you can imagine, she was completely and utterly devastated. She had waited a long time to find Mr. Wright and thought she found him. And that turned out not to be the case. And boy, was she heartbroken, you can imagine. And her mom and I did everything we could to comfort her. She found a good Christian counselor who was helpful. But it took a long, long time. She was devastated. And she's a counselor herself. She's a licensed professional counselor. But man, was she down under it, as anyone would be in that situation. And man, we were at a loss as to what to do except to be there to support her. Mm-hmm. What a great disappointment. But you know, time went by. The Lord ministered to her and she began to recover. And then a few years later, she met a young man, Kevin Dehoff, and they began to date and they fell in love. And they ended up getting married last year. And that was another little bit of a disappointment, not with him. He's a great young man and they're very, very happy together. But they had this big wedding planned and then COVID hit. Instead of this big wedding, the wedding venue called us, said we have to shut down. And so they ended up having a very small wedding with just a handful of people, a COVID wedding, if you will. But they married, they moved to Chicago. They're so happy together. He's a great Christian young man, a great husband to her. And now they're expecting their first child. We've mentioned it to you, Harvest, those of you who know us. Sharon and I are gonna be grandparents for the first time. We're so excited. And Lauren is so excited that when she faced crushing disappointment, yet God was faithful to her to bring her out of it and to restore her and to give her everything that she wanted and was hoping for and more. God is so good. And God restored Joseph and God did something great in the life of Joseph. And finally, he was remembered and he was brought out of prison. You may be listening to this. You may have experienced great disappointment in your life. I understand that. It's not easy. It's tough. But I want you to know, even though you're challenged by disappointment, you do not have to be overwhelmed. God will bring you through. God will restore you. And often we're disappointed and we don't have something in our lives that we're expecting. So many times, as God did in the case of my daughter Lauren, God will bring you something better than what you were disappointed about not having. So I want to encourage you today. You may be dealing with disappointment right now, but God has something better for you, and He will help you not to be overwhelmed by the challenge of disappointment. Well, the fourth challenge that Joseph experienced is found in Genesis 41, 15 through 16. Pharaoh had had these couple of dreams, and he asked his wise men and sorcerers to come and not just interpret the dream after Pharaoh told him what the dream was, but he said, I want to know you're not just making something up, so you tell me what I dreamed. And then give me the interpretation. They were like, no one can do that. And that's when the cupbearer remembered Joseph in prison who had interpreted his dream. So as I said, Joseph was called for. He came before Pharaoh. And Genesis 41, 15 and 16 say this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can't interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. The fourth challenge that Joseph experienced, and I want to talk about for a few minutes, is the challenge of trusting God. Sometimes our trust in God is put to the test. And as I said, Pharaoh told his wise men, his sorcerers, you tell me what I dreamed and then tell me the meaning of the dreams. And they said, nobody can do that. And they were right. In the human realm, no one can do that. But when the same challenge was presented to Joseph said, in myself, I can't do what you ask, but the God I serve is able to reveal the dreams that you had and the interpretation. And so what happened? God revealed the dreams to Joseph about upcoming 7 years of prosperity in the land, and followed by 7 years of famine. He revealed to Pharaoh the dreams and the interpretation, and the upshot of it was for someone to be appointed during the 7 years of plenty to store up excess grain to prepare for the years of famine. And Pharaoh said, I can't think of anybody better to do that, Joseph, than you. Genesis 41:40 says this, Pharaoh speaking to Joseph, and he says, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Wow. This was the young man, remember, who was sold into slavery. And now he is the second highest authority in the entire land of Egypt, from a slave to the very, very top. Why? Because he trusted in God. Because God did a miracle through him, revealing to him the nature of that dream and its interpretation. Charles Kratzer said, great things happen when our resources end and God's resources begin. In his book, Out of the Whirlwind, Mark Tabb writes, he, meaning God, tells us to trust him enough to believe he knows what he is doing. When his actions don't make sense, trust him. When the windows of heaven seem to be open extra wide and life can't get any better, trust him. When the bottom falls out and life turns hard, trust him. Good times and bad, happy and sad, trust him. When I try to explain him away or reduce him to neat little formulas, I show a lack of faith, not a wealth of it. What will God do? I have no idea, but I do know this. He isn't making things up on the fly. He knows what he is doing. Now I must trust him enough to entrust my life to him, even when I would rather not. Boy, that's powerful. What is an ongoing issue in your life about which you can do nothing but trust God? Will you trust him? Will you trust him to do a miracle if that's what's needed? Will you trust him to supply what you're lacking if that's what's needed? You can trust him. Proverbs 3:5 from the New American Standard Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's a challenge to trust God. It's a challenge to trust God because there are times when our eyes tell us one thing, but faith tells us something else. I've shared this story many times, how a year after our church began, we had extended family members leave, and we were a small church. They were involved in various areas of our ministry. In one fell swoop, I lost a church deacon, treasurer, a home fellowship group leader, a Sunday school department leader, and a member of the worship team through one extended family. Gone in a moment's time. And that was a big blow to our church. And I remember I could take you to the spot where I sat down and said, Lord, what am I going to do? The Lord said, you had no guarantee of anybody who would be with you when you started this church. But I told you I would provide the people you needed. I'm your source. I will still provide you with everything and everyone that you need. And that was more than 28 years ago. And God has been faithful. God told me to trust in him, that he would supply everything we need. And he has done that. I can testify to it. Listen, I don't have the answers to all of your issues and your problems and your needs, but God does. Will you trust him? Will you take him at his word? Sometimes trusting him involves taking a step of faith. Joseph had to speak forth what he felt God was telling him the Pharaoh's dream was. But he trusted God, and God came through. And God will come through for you. It's a challenge to trust him sometimes. But I tell you, it's a challenge worth taking. And you won't be overwhelmed, but you'll be victorious if you trust in God. one final challenge I want to share with you. The story goes on that the famine hit Israel, the land where Joseph's brothers were living. And so the father sent them to Egypt to get grain, not knowing, of course, what became of Joseph, all of them being sure that he was dead. There's a long story, many of you know it. They appeared before him, they didn't recognize him after all those years. He sent them back and forth and played a few games with them, and finally, at the very end, he revealed himself to them, and boy, they were blown away. And he asked about their father, and they said their father was alive, and they brought their father Jacob to Egypt to be reunited with Joseph. He lived there for a time, and then Jacob, their father, passed away. And Genesis 50:15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Fifth and final challenge I want to talk to you about is the challenge of forgiveness. Boy, this was Joseph's opportunity. His brothers sold him into slavery. He was as good as dead to them. They tore him away from his father who loved him. And now they were helpless before him. He was he had all the power. And he could have executed them. He could have imprisoned them. He could have done anything to them. But look at what it says in Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21. Joseph speaking to his brothers, don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Wow. That's powerful. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He forgave them. Is there someone in your life who's wronged you? And it's been a challenge for you to forgive them? I want to encourage you today to seek the Lord's help to forgive that person. When you and I hold on to bitterness and we hold on to wrongs, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. When we hold on to wrongs, the person we harm is ourselves. That bitterness will tear us apart. Say, Pastor Tim, but you don't know how I've been wronged. You don't know how I've been betrayed or mistreated. I get that. But Jesus was wronged, the innocent Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. He was wronged more than anyone else in all of history. And what did he pray to Almighty God about the ones who were nailing him to the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgiveness. He modeled forgiveness. And God has forgiven us. Andy Stanley, in his book, Enemies of the Heart, Breaking Free from the Four Emotions That Control You, says this: if you're a Christian, you aren't expected to treat others the way you've been treated by others. You've been called to treat people the way you've been treated by your Father in heaven. You don't forgive because the other person deserves it. You forgive because you've been forgiven. That's powerful. If you're a Christian, a believer in Christ, you've been forgiving. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Who is there that you need to forgive today? Maybe they've wronged you terribly, caused you grief, caused you to shed many tears. But are you holding on to that bitterness, that anger? That can overwhelm you, that can destroy you. And I get it. To forgive is a challenge. It's not easy. In our own strength, it's pretty near impossible. But in the strength of Almighty God, He can help us forgive. In that same book, Andy Stanley said this: in the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 5:43-47. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? It's a challenge to forgive, I understand. But if you're holding bitterness, if you're holding on to hurt that others have perpetrated on you, I want you to know the Lord will help you to forgive. He will help you not to be overwhelmed by the prospect of forgiving, but to meet that challenge to forgive. And when you forgive something that you've been holding on to, oh, I can't tell you the release, the huge burden that rolls off your back when you choose to forgive. Who is it that you need to forgive? When this service is over, when you're done watching this live stream, some of you that right now the Lord is speaking to you about someone that you need to forgive. Will you do it? Will you meet that challenge? Allow the Lord to help you to forgive. I pray that you will. You know, the Lord never said there wouldn't be challenges in life. As a matter of fact, he said there would. He said, in the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but I have overcome the world, he said. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you've experienced the challenge of catastrophe and you feel like life is barely worth living. I want you to know that as Joseph did, you can prosper even after catastrophe. Maybe you've experienced the challenge of temptation. And look, all of us have been tempted and all of us have failed at one time or another. Thank God there's forgiveness for our failure, our giving into temptation. But we don't look at that forgiveness as a get out of jail free card. The Lord wants us to rely on him when we're faced with temptation to do anything that's displeasing to him. And maybe you've been overwhelmed by temptations that you've given into, but the Lord will help you if you will draw on his strength to meet that challenge and not be overwhelmed by the challenge of temptation. Maybe there's the challenge of great disappointment. Something that you looked forward to and you planned on, and maybe you built a large portion or your entire life around, and then the bottom fell out from under you and the disappointment was just huge. You know, there are small disappointments in life, but there are huge ones. And disappointment can be debilitating if we let it. The Lord will help you not to be overwhelmed by your disappointment. Will you trust in him today for that? Maybe you're being challenged to trust God in a situation where, man, you just don't think things are going to turn out well. And you don't think there's any way out. I want to challenge you to trust God today, to turn to him. He can do the impossible in your situation. He can turn it around. Will you trust in him? Will you turn that over to him? You've tried your own solutions. You've tried your own problem-solving techniques, and they haven't worked. It's time to trust God, and he will help you not to be overwhelmed by that challenge, but to meet that challenge. And then the challenge of forgiveness. Whoever there is that you need to forgive, will you forgive today? Will you follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? They may have wronged you terribly. If it wasn't a terrible wrong done to you, then forgiveness wouldn't be necessary. They've wronged you terribly, but you need to forgive. The Lord will help you. You say, but Pastor Tim, I can't. Not in your own strength, you can't. But in the shadow of the cross, you can. The Lord will help you. Life is full of challenges. As long as we live, we'll face challenges. They catch us by surprise sometimes. And they come out of the blue. You will be challenged, but you do not need to be overwhelmed by the challenges of life. The Lord will help you, and he will bless you, and he will help you to not be overwhelmed, but to overcome each and every challenge because the Lord is on your side. And so whatever challenges you're dealing with, will you take them to the Lord and trust in Him and allow Him to bring you through, and you will not be overwhelmed.